the City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order at 7:26. First up, we have acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on November 3, 2025. Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Second item on the agenda, PCO 28-25, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, Anthony Albanese and Bridge Group LLC applicants. The address is 9 Post Road, Assessor's Plat 291, lots 31 and 32. This is Ward 1. Do we have a motion to move to the full council for a public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Second, PCO 30-25, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick. Alexander and Courtney Bucci, applicants. The address is 85 Tollgate Road, Assessor's Plat 246, Lot 191. This is in Ward 8. Do we have a motion to move to the full council for public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
There being no further business before this committee, we adjourn at 7:28 p.m.
So we're now back to the full council. First, announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Does anyone have anything for announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events? Seeing none, next is acceptance of minutes from the council meeting held on November 3rd, 2025. Does anyone have any objections to accepting the minutes as presented? Seeing none, so accept it. Next, we have public comment, Rule 41. After general communications and prior to the consent calendar at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if there are more than 6 citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all speakers concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires a unanimous vote of the council. First up, we have Richard Langseth. And even though you heard me say your name, please, when you get up to the mic, just state your name.
Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm. The Warwick City Council voted yes to the first stage of a $2 million water department project, bid 2026-256, Buttonwoods Avenue Pipeline Replacement at Brushneck Cove. Approved is $200,000 for the engineering. And additional funds? Where will they come from? Not disclosed. The mayor and his administration described this place as, in quotes, private Buttonwoods. The Reverend Oliver Peyton Fuller noted 100 years ago in his History of Warwick, 130 acres of land bordering upon the beach were sold to an association of gentlemen known as the Buttonwood Beach Association for $22,000 in 1871. He continued, "This association has since laid out the grounds in a tasteful manner and placed them in the market. They erected a large hotel in 1872 at a cost of $20,000. Some 50 or more cottages, some of them quite expensive, have already been erected as of 1875. The Reverend Joseph Hartshorne financed this development through a mortgage. It had a stipulation that the gentleman at the Buttonwoods would file a plat map with the town clerk, open the roads, and sell the lots to pay off the mortgage. Under subdivision common law, then in place, this was a dedication of the Buttonwoods ways as public highways. If there were a foreclosure, Then the public could buy the distressed lot knowing that it was not landlocked. The mortgage would be paid off and the funds repurposed for another charitable need. The Reverend Hartshorn continued his support of the Providence YMCA and the First Black Women's College, the Hartshorn Memorial College, which he founded in 1883. The gentlemen are now held to their promise that they will keep the streets of the Buttonwoods open to the public. By law, they cannot renege. Who says so? 11,000 members of the Saving Rhode Island Coastal Access Rights of Way Facebook group, founded by the grandson of the former Rocky Point owner. They know that by filing a plat map to meet the mortgage stipulation, the gentleman at the Buttonwoods made a promise to the public that the streets would be open for everybody. When the school department told the mayor that they would be $2 million short, all hell broke out. Now we are looking at another $2 million surprise, subject to state and federal review. The gentlemen at Buttonwoods broke their promise. They have raised $40,000 of public taxpayer money to fight public access. By the way, it's against me. $2 million is a lot of money for the people of Warwick to raise in these trying times. We demand that it be spent appropriately for the good of the entire community, not given to a few gentlemen at the Buttonwoods who break their 154-year-old promise of public access to the shore. Council members, let's make that happen. For the lawyers, Cincinnati versus the Lisi of White, U.S. Supreme Court, 1832. Property dedicated to public is a public permanent easement. When public easements are posted in the plat maps and the public buys lots in the map, the developer cannot then break its promise of public ways.
You have 1 minute, Mr. Langsdale.
Thank you. You know, I spoke out before the last committee meeting that I was upset that we had to wait a whole hour for me to read this. I really think that Warwick City Council should honor its obligation to the public to have speaking at the time of the speaking. We don't need the education department to come in month after month and spend a whole hour discussing things that have been discussed endlessly. The people of Warwick would like to reserve this time for their comments and not for the education department. Thank you very much.
Sean Rainey.
Sean Rainey, Ward 1. A couple of things, and I didn't have time to email, but Ward 1, I'm still waiting for an answer on Danforth about their paving and the potholes. And Ward 3, you have a couple of things. Mickey Stevens, the brand new lights that they put up, there's one or two out. If it's under warranty, I think we should get it looked at. It's in left center field of A field, the one closest to A field, yeah, left center field. Also, the speed sign closest to the tennis courts at Warwick Vets going from West Shore Road to Sandy Lane, that speed sign is also out, not working. The one heading the other way is working. The one heading towards Sandy Lane isn't. I heard somebody say something earlier about the urgency of this vote for the school bond. It's almost as urgent as what the budget commission was that we will put forward, that the budget commission was so urgent that they said that the schools need $2.1 million more dollars, but it's so urgent, don't do it. And I think it's against the law to have the school department working in a deficit, but we're talking about urgency. You know, what was the urgency of the vote on February 3rd? The same urgency, the answer, I'll give you my answer, the same urgency that the budget commission was, non-urgent. The school department knew what they were doing. There was no need to have another body with a nose in the cookie jar. But other than that, I appreciate your time and happy Thanksgiving to you all, and enjoy the holidays.
Thank you. That concludes the list for public comment. And rather than going to the consent calendar, because we have two public hearings, unless there's any objection, we're going to go to that, especially with the stenographer already here waiting. So first up, it would be PCO 28-25, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the city of Warwick. Anthony Albanese / Bridge Group LLC, applicants 9 Post Road, assessors plat 291, lots 31 and 32. This would be first passage public hearing. First, can someone move to open the public hearing?
Move to open public hearing.
Seconded by Councilman Foley. Clerk will please call the roll on the vote to open for public hearing.
Mr.
Sinabi? Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr.
Gephardt? Yes.
Mr.
Herman? Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Mr. Muno? Yes.
All right, public hearing stands open. Petitioner.
Thank you, Council President and members of the Council. Attorney Joseph Brennan here on behalf of the applicant, the Bridge Group LLC, and Mr. Anthony Albanese. The property that you have before you today is the property located at 9 Post Road, known as Hunter's Landing and famously Hunter's Garage over in Patuxent Village in Ward 1. I've actually been working on this project for I've been on this project for a few years now. It started out as a much bigger project with, I think it was up to 12 residential units and a restaurant use on the bottom. And over the years, we've had numerous public hearings, some pre-application hearings before planning. We had, it was actually, might have even still been during COVID, because I think I was at home doing a Zoom hearing before Historic a really long time ago. So this project's been kicking around for a long time, and what you have before you has been parsed down significantly through the avenues of communication with the neighbors, communications of planning staff, and now we think we're here before you with what we think is a really good project, and we have already received master plan approval from the planning board, along with any zoning relief that we needed through the planning board from their unified development review process. The application before you is for this city council's approval. We are in a general business zone. I actually think we might even be split with a small portion of it in a residential zone, and we're seeking it to be changed to the PUD zone. That zone allows us to have the mixed use, because what we're proposing is 6 residential units. And then along the front of the building that faces 9 Post Road, it's just over 1,500 square feet of commercial space. Whether that be one commercial space or two is undecided, depending on what tenant wants to go in there. But we are sure, because of that limited space, it wouldn't be a restaurant. That was one of the big concerns of the neighbors and the public as well, because of the traffic. It doesn't mean they might not do a small ice cream parlor or something along that line, but the restaurant, because of the loud, the lateness, and that was a big deterrent, so we understand that as well. We have ample parking on our site. If you've been there, I'm sure you've all driven by it at some point with all the great Warwick events that happened down there. But it's a blighted site, and it has been for way too long. You finally have a developer who's willing to take it on, develop it into a useful and serviceable use back into the community. The application will have use of the existing foundation as much as possible. That also is the reason for all the variances that you see that were already granted from the planning board, because it's a small site. A lot of them down there are, and we're trying to build this within the existing footprint, because that allows us to give that off-street parking, something that the village desperately needs down there. So we're doing our best to not only put a useful project together, but make it so that we are not providing any type of deterrent to the traffic or the parking that exists there today, especially from our residential standpoint, from what we're supplying. This project will require a wetlands permit through DEM. Will also require a physical alteration permit from Rhode Island Department of Transportation. So although I don't have all the answers to you regarding any type of traffic, we believe that because of our proposal, The off-street parking shouldn't be as much of an issue, but there'll also be oversight directly from Rhode Island Department of Transportation and their experts regarding traffic. With that said, that really is the summation of everything. I have the project engineers here. We also have the architect here that can answer any questions. If this honorable council were to approve the zone change tonight, our next steps would be towards getting all of those state permits that I mentioned, along with we would need preliminary approval before the planning board again, along with final approval. And then we'd also have to be before the historic as well. So with that said, Council President and members, we're here to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone here to Councilman Foley?
Yes, I would like to speak, but I'll wait till public comment is done.
Makes sense. All right. Is anyone here to speak in favor of the proposal? Is anyone here to speak in favor of the proposal? Is anyone here to speak in favor of the proposal? Is anyone here to speak against the proposal? Is there anyone here to speak against the proposal? Is there anyone here to speak against the proposal? Is there anyone here who just simply wishes to speak regarding the proposal? Is there anyone here who simply wishes to speak regarding the proposal? Is there anyone here who simply wishes to speak regarding the proposal? All right, seeing none, can someone move to close the public hearing?
Motion to close public hearing.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Foley, seconded by Councilman Ricks. Clerk will please call the roll on the motion to close the public hearing. Yes.
Mr. DeLuise.
Yes.
Mr. Foley.
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt.
Yes.
Mr. Kirby.
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser.
Yes.
Mr. Muto.
Yes.
Mr. Napa.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks.
Yes.
9 yes to close the public hearing.
All right, the public hearing stands closed. Councilman Foley.
Yes. To my colleagues, with Mr. Brennan here, 5 years ago, I remember I came on the council and this project was the first one I had to deal with, and I had a large number of constituents with concerns, which I addressed to Mr. Brennan and to the developer. And it's taken 5 long years, but through many different renditions, the project you have in front of us tonight is the best use for that property. That Hunter's Garage, and I'm a big antique and vintage guy, but we need something better to enter the village, and I think this will do it. That's A. B, I want to compliment Mr. Albanese. He reached out to me last week, asked me if I had any questions for him. At that time, I did not. I had already spoken with Mr. Kravitz and the administration. He walked me through everything, and this weekend, colleague Gephardt reached out to me also, and as I told him, 5 years ago, I was inundated with phone calls. In the last 2 weeks, let's just say that this got on the agenda, I have received zero phone calls, for or against, but none against. I will be voting for this development tonight because I think it's the best use, and I can't wait for it to come to fruition. Thank you.
Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you, Council President. Mr. Brennan, nice to see you. Couldn't agree more. This looks like a great project. I did have just a couple of questions. I did field a call from the councilwoman from Cranston, that covers Patuxent Village, who happens to have some specialty in wetland and stormwater and whatnot. So I think the crux of the question was, given the density and the relief being requested on the setbacks, knowing that you'll need to go to DEM, but are you confident in the engineering on the plan that all stormwater will be handled on site, that you'll be able to mitigate the impacts, especially with its proximity to the coast, proximity to the village, right on the line. Any concerns there? Has that engineering all been done? Is that future to be done? Can you just go into that a little bit for me?
Yeah, so there's no concerns towards it. They do have to run more calculations and numbers to be able to contain that, especially because the building code already states that you have to have a zero net water runoff from what's there existing today versus what you provide. So you're correct in saying the DEM is going to review all that, and they have certain regulations that they require certain types of I don't know the correct proper engineering term, but the engineering and drainage has to be done in a certain way. You wouldn't get their approvals otherwise. So there's also kind of, there's a fail safe, so to speak, if you want to call it that, from DEM's point of view, and then also from your own building code. You'll have two separate engineers that would be heavily reviewing that. But I, from an initial standpoint, we're confident that we can handle it, but those stages would come next because that's the information and the permit we'd apply for and give towards the planning staff for our next hearing, for which would be another public hearing for preliminary approval before planning.
Okay, great. Thank you for handling that. So more to come. The as far as everything that you are aware of today, that will be handled, and certainly the math will get tightened up in the next phase of the project.
Yes.
And then I just, is there still a commercial use in the ground level, or can you just explain to me?
So when you look at the front of the building that faces Post Road, I'm just going to point at
the, you can take that mic right out of the stand too, if you want.
It's really just along the very front of Post Road, the front of the building here. That would be where the commercial use would be. That way it kind of works within the characteristics of what the Patuxent Village, where you have storefront close to the sidewalk in the street, and then any other residences or anything in the back. That way it promotes the walking and the pedestrian use rather than the car use. So just like you would park anywhere you can find parking, and then you would walk to it. That's where it would be located.
Okay. And the intent for that ground floor use known at this point, like restaurant, retail?
Well, it wouldn't be restaurant because we've gotten a lot of kickback on that. And the size of the space itself, I don't know if he'd be able to find anyone that could fit the kitchen space and the proper seating area because it's only 1,500 square feet in total.
Okay.
When we did speak in the past, he mentioned it's all conditional on what kind of tenant wants to move in, but an ice cream parlor, maybe a bank, if you could get a bank to go there. Those types of lesser intense uses.
Okay.
And for noise, too. And also, we heard testimony from abutters regarding delivery trucks and such. So those uses wouldn't have all the big food Cisco trucks driving down causing traffic too.
Sure. Okay, great. Let me see. There's in here, there's a waiver of 505 landscape buffer along the residential property lines. I'm assuming based on that, we didn't have any negative comments here tonight that any abutting neighbors are okay with the landscape buffering plan.
Yeah. So no one was here tonight, but just first from a procedural standpoint, that approval has already been granted from the planning board under the unified development review. But to explain it further, it's just because when you change it to these zones, it requires a much larger landscape buffer along residentially zoned properties, which we have directly as you're looking at it to our left. There's that house there. They kind of have a shared drive. It's not a shared driveway, but they have a driveway right along our property line. Mm-hmm. So they did have some concerns. They asked to not have like a big fence up. That way they could have sight lines for coming and going from the property. So we won't have anything like that there along the front. But also that relief was needed because of the type of site that we have. It's so small in comparison to some other larger sites, but the ordinance for parking when you back out requires 24 feet. And so we needed to go that close to the residential lines in order to meet the requirements from a traffic and safety standpoint on site. But we do still provide a buffer, a small buffer where we can. The reason that you see where it says in some places like zero requested are mainly because you can kind of see like over when you get to the front where there's some pavement, like where we have our handicap spot, we can't really provide it there. So it sounds silly, but you don't give, when you ask for this relief, you don't give a scale of 0 to 5 here, there, you just give your minimum point. So we had to give our minimum point, but you can see along our residential line and in the rear, there is some landscaping buffer there.
Okay. I think parking on site, there'll be parking for each residential unit.
Yes. Yep. There'll be like signs up for what unit they'll have parking at, and then we'll have additional off-street parking for that that office use, because the zone, the ordinance only requires 2.5 spaces per unit. So when we have 6, that puts us at 12, 18, and we provide for that.
Okay. Okay, that's all I have for now. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you, Mr. Brennan.
Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. First, I'd like to thank you and everyone working on this, because it is not a quick and simple process, certainly. As you said, many years in the making, many changes along the way. And I think that the lack of phone calls against, as stated by the councilman representing the area, Councilman Foley, as well as the lack of objection earlier during this public hearing, I think that that's really a testament to all of those efforts to try to address and satisfy the neighborhood concerns. The particular location of this building inside of Patuxent Village, you have some buildings there, of course, that are taller than others. It's not as if there's a 6-family, multifamily building going up in the middle of a suburban plat that was set out in the year 1980. No. This is a historic village. Preserving that and having the building as much as possible on the original foundation, that makes a lot of sense. And it's a wonderful location, beautiful location right there next to the river and the waterfall. So it deserves something like this, something that's much better than what's there right now, taking up space and being an eyesore on the neighborhood. So unless something is brought to my attention that's completely out of left field, I think that this is an excellent development, done the right way, gone through the full process. And God knows that we need more housing here in Warwick too. So I suppose one quick housekeeping note. The former owner of this building shared my last name. Far as I know, going back about a couple hundred years, and as far back as I can trace, back about 6 generations, no relation. So there's probably some relation out there. If I go back a few hundred years more, who knows? But it may be Rhode Island, but there's no relation, far as I know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Brennan.
Good evening.
How long did you say that this building has been vacant and what I would call a nuisance?
I don't know, to be honest, but when I know that it's been vacant since I lived in Warwick, and that was about 13 years ago. So at a minimum that, but it's from everything that I know, it's been a very long time that that's been vacant and just sitting there. I've been told not that long.
Okay. Mr. President, I think things need to be addressed on the mic.
Yeah, I apologize, but public comment is closed on this, the public hearing rather, and there's a stenographer here who can only really hear what's stated into the microphone regardless.
So the point of my question is, it's been vacant as long as I think most of us sitting here can recall. Is that a fair statement? I'll direct that question to Councilman Foley. Is that a fair statement?
At least 5 years. I moved into Ward 1 6 years ago, and I am not a Warwick resident, native. I'm a Pawtucket boy. I came down here 48 years ago and found my wife, and I've been here pretty much ever since, thanks to her. And as far as I can recall, I remember that white garage being empty.
Thank you for verifying that you are, in fact, a Warwick resident. We all appreciate that one. A question to the chief of staff, I believe. I don't think anyone from finance is here. Chief, given the condition of the property and the fact that it's essentially vacant, has that had a negative impact on the tax revenue to the city? Let me rephrase that question. The current condition and occupancy of that property, is it fair to say it generates less tax revenue today than it would should this project be passed?
Without knowing the specifics, more specifics of it, I probably would say yes. I mean, the commercial property is valued on income value. So yes, it's a vacant building. So yeah.
Okay. The condition of, scratch that. Is this in a historical district?
Yes.
So does this plan comply with the historical commission?
We believe it does. We haven't been before them yet. I think they'll be our next stop. And we have an architect on our team that put together the plan in a way that we believe historic would like, but we haven't been before them to get any feedback yet. But we are open and very amenable to working with them. Like I mentioned, we had some pre-apps with them before on items. We didn't get into the details as much as I would like to at those times 5 years ago. They were very hung up on the zoning items from us. So we thought it would be a better path to just go to the city, seek our approvals, and then we can go back to historic and focus on the architecture.
So there's still other steps involved. Yeah.
There's definitely still other steps involved, yes.
And if I remember reading through these documents, this proposal is in compliance with the comprehensive plan of 2023 for the city?
Yes.
Okay. And is there any stormwater management taking place on this property today?
No, there is none.
And if this is approved with all approvals, one of the caveats would be that there will, in fact, be a stormwater management plan in place.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. I like the direct questions. Easy to answer. I've never
been accused of that. Are there any other further questions from the council? Seeing none, do we have a motion? Motion for favorable action by Councilman Foley and seconded by Councilman Napa. Any further questions, comments? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll. Yes.
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 Thank you very much to the council president and the honorable council. And I always like to thank the staff, the planning staff and the city staff are always fantastic and very helpful to work with. So thank you guys for your time.
Thank you. So next we have our other public hearing, PCO 30-25, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the city of Warwick, Alexander and Courtney Bucci, applicants 85 Tollgate Road, assessors plat 246, lot 191. This will be first passage. First, do we have a motion to open up the public hearing?
Make a motion to open the public hearing.
Motion made by Councilman Lattiser, seconded by Councilman Muto. Clerk, please call the roll on the motion to open for public hearing.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
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 All right, the public hearing stands open. Petitioner?
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the council. My name is Jeff Caffrey. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Resnick and Caffrey, 300 Centerville Road here in Warwick. I'm here on behalf of the applicants, Alexander and Courtney Bucci. And as you indicated, we're seeking a zone change for the property located at 85 Tollgate Road. Once again, in Warwick, that's it's a piece of property that's approximately 2 acres in size, which at the moment contains two separate single-family residences. The proposal is to add a second unit to one of the properties to make it a three-unit property. There'll be no expansion of the existing footprint of the property. We're not seeking any other relief. We did receive a uniform development review approval from the planning department because the lot contains very little frontage on Tollgate Road. With that exception, there was no other relief that was being sought. Property at present is zoned residential A10 as well as office. And again, we're seeking to have it rezoned to PDRL. Really not much I can add to that other than, you know, once again, it's pretty much going to be the existing footprint, the existing use, with just the addition of an additional unit.
Is there anyone here to speak in favor of the proposal? Is there anyone here to speak in favor of the proposal? Is there anyone here to speak in favor of the proposal? Is there anyone here to speak against the proposal? Is there anyone here to speak against the proposal? Is there anyone here to speak against the proposal? Is there anyone here who just wishes to speak on the proposal? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak on the proposal? Is there anyone here that wishes to speak on the proposal? All right, seeing none, will anyone be able to move to close public hearing?
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Ricks, seconded by Councilman Lattiser. If the clerk could please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
All right, the public hearing now is closed. So this is in my ward. The one question that came to mind when reviewing was the sewer department had weighed in saying that there might be an additional fee, but they didn't state whether or not the system over there would be sufficient to support the additional unit. It's kind of implied that the answer is yes, because otherwise they would have said so. So this is more just a request that in the future it just say that for peace of mind, at least on my sake. And as far as did any abutters raise issues with this proposal?
None.
All right. So I didn't receive any calls either. So that lines up with my understanding as well. Do any other council members have any questions, comments, or concerns? Seeing none, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I'll just briefly state that similar to the last public hearing, the lack of negative feedback, lack of phone calls and the like is a testament to working with the community, going through the process. So thank you for working with the community and working with the city and community to make sure that this is a good fit for the neighborhood.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have a motion?
Favorable.
Motion for favorable action by Councilman Ricks, seconded by Councilman Foley. Does anyone else have any further questions, comments? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Yes.
All Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, now we're going to go back because we skipped the consent calendar before. So PCR 132-25, resolution relative to bids. This is finance, Councilman Lattiser. For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 132-25.
Second.
Motion made favorable action by Councilman Lattiser, seconded by Councilman Muto. And there were two items removed, right?
That is correct. First item was previously 2026-245, Motorola two-way radios has been amended, and it is now PCR 133-25. The committee recommended favorable action as amended. The second item that was removed is 2026-262, radar calibration and repairs. That has now become PCR 134-25, and that was also moved favorable with an amendment.
All right, so on the consent calendar, we have a motion for favorable action and we have a second. Does anyone have any further questions or comments that weren't addressed in committee? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lassa?
Yes.
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 All right, next, first we have of the two items removed, PCR 133-25, Councilman Lattiser.
Committee recommends favorable action as amended on PCR 133-25.
So for action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 133-25 as amended.
Second.
So Councilman Lattiser has moved favorable action to amend PCR 133-25, seconded by Councilman Muto, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to verbalize the nature of the amendment?
Sure. So the amendment was to change the term from a one-year bid to a two-year bid, and the amount will change from $25,000 to $50,000. And this was at the request of Major Hott from the police department.
Does anyone have any questions or comments regarding the proposed amendment? All right, so there's a motion for favorable action to amend and a second. So clerk will please call the roll on the amendment.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Yes.
Foley?
Yes.
Gephardt?
Yes.
Kirby?
Yes.
Lassa?
Yes.
Muto?
Yes.
Gephardt?
Yes.
Yes. All right, so now we have PCR 133-25 as amended before us. For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 133-25 as amended.
Second. Seconded by Councilman Muto. Any further questions or comments regarding PCR 133-25 as amended? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll. Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
And next we have the other one that was pulled off, PCR 134-25. Councilman Lattiser?
Committee recommended favorable action as amended.
For action, Councilman Lattiser?
Move favorable action on PCR 134-25 as amended.
Second.
So Councilman Lattiser has moved favorable action to amend PCR 134-25, seconded by Councilman Muto. Councilman, can you just articulate the nature of the amendment?
Yes, sir. So this was a consensus among a couple of pipe people, actually. Major Hott also did his due diligence, reached out to the vendor to extend this bid out for 3 years. I had actually requested for two, and he actually one-upped me and got it even better. So he was able to get the vendor, TMDE, to extend their bid through 2029. So the amendment is to increase the amount from $7,000 to $21,000 and increase the dates from 1/9/2026 to 1/8/2029.
All right. Does anyone have any questions or comments regarding the proposed amendment? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
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 All right, PCR 134-25 now stands before us as amended. For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action as amended on PCR 134-25.
Motion made by Councilman Lattiser, seconded by Councilman Muto for favorable action as amended for PCR 134-25. Anyone have any further questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll. Yes.
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 All right, next is, we can skip these two. We already did them. Unfinished business. PCO 13-25, an ordinance amending procedures relative to transfer of tax title to property. The request is to hold that till January 5th, 2026. Does anyone object to such? Seeing none, so held. Next is PCR 93-25, resolution amending the rules of the Warwick City Council for the 2025-2026 term. The request is to hold till December 15th, 2025. Does anyone object to such? Seeing none, so held. Next is PCR 129-25, 2026-229A, police personnel uniforms. This is finance, Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This item, start off. First of all, the Finance Committee recommends favorable action.
All right, for action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 129-25, now 2026-229A.
All right, it was seconded by Councilman Muto. All right, go ahead.
So at the last hearing, the Finance Committee had requested that the police department hold this bid because the information that was presented to us in the bid package was not complete. There were information and documents that were missing unintentionally in the bid package, and this isn't something that the Finance Committee is going to be able to condone. So the request was given to the police department to go back, get that information, which they did. It was transmitted to us, and when presented to the Finance Committee, it was accepted as such with no further discussion.
All right. Does anyone have any questions or comments on this item? All right, well, there's a motion for favorable action and a second, so clerk will please call the roll.
Snapping.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Foley. Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
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 All right. Next, we have PCO 20-25, an ordinance combining the Housing Board of Review and the Building Code of Appeals. This is ordinance. So, Councilman Napa.
Committee recommended moving this to the full floor without recommendation for purposes of amendment. I believe Councilman Lattiser had at least one, if not two, amendments that he would like to propose.
All right. So, for us to actually discuss this, we need a motion. So, for action, Councilman Napa.
Move favorable.
Yeah. So bear in mind, yes, we know there's probably going to be an amendment. So motion for favorable action for the purposes of discussion. Is there a second?
Yes, second.
Second by Councilman Lattiser. And sorry.
Yes, please. Yep.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser raised two issues for amendment in committee. The first item is on page 2, line 13, to insert after the word and a slash or to make it read both optional and conjunctive. The second item would be later on page 2 in lines 38 to 41 would be to remove the new language that is being inserted that talks about the mayor being able to select the combination of the makeup of the board upon combination, and we would insert language on that preceding sentence that would make that sentence read, the combined board shall consist of 5 members appointed by the mayor, subject to the approval of the city council upon combination and thereafter. So the amendment would maintain the council's role of the advice and consent of the membership upon the combination, and the same standard would apply as it would be filled thereafter. So happy to answer any questions on the proposed amendments.